Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. This is JT, aka The Master, and this is The Master Plan. For the next hour, we're going to talk about the excitement that took place in the NFL playoffs, among other things. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. And we also have a chat room. The chat room is open. You want to make a statement, a comment, a question, anything that you want to put on there, you can use four-letter words. I've heard them before. I'm an old guy. It's no problem. Just let's converse and talk about this past week in sports, and especially what took place on the two games in the NFL playoffs yesterday. Some excitement for one, and ho hum for the other. Let's do this after this little short foray. Get my act together here. All right, I'm back, and like I said, I'm JT, a.k.a. The Master. This is The Master Plan. I gave you the ways and means to converse with me by landline or by the Internet with the chat room open. Now we're going to talk about what took place yesterday. And who should be the first one to talk about this? But one of the guys, one of the coaches that put this team together, and the present coach is reaping the benefits. And he always said this, or he said this at one point, and this is apropos because when he said this, it was because of the actions of his players, and especially one that performed very well yesterday.
I want winners.
And you know what the rest of that is. Mike Singletary, we'll run it with this.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. And I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Well, we all know who that was. That was a previous coach, Mike Singletary, and he was talking about his all-pro tight end who definitely showed why he drafted him in the first place. And he turned around Mr. Vernon Davis to a stellar citizen and a absolute stud on the field. And that's how Vernon played yesterday. He played lights out. New Orleans Saints had no answer for him. New Orleans Saints, there's one thing I have to say to you. You came into this game favored, and I don't know what happened to you, but you had a shot, and you didn't take advantage of it. This is all I got to say about this.
Down
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is...
And... I don't know what to tell you there, New Orleans Saints. Let me run down this for you, people. This was a pretty tight, hard-hitting, old-school type of game on the San Francisco 49ers side. They were popping people left and right. The first series that the New Orleans Saints got near the goal line, inside the five, Pierre Thomas takes a pass. Excuse me, takes a pass from Drew Brees and gets met at the goal line. And this is what happened to him.
You got knocked the fuck out.
And you never heard from Pierre Thomas after that. He exactly. That's what happened to him. He got knocked up out. And they were hit banging. Jimmy Graham got pounded early, but he didn't sustain the type of injury or trauma, I guess you would say, that Pierre Thomas. There was basically a helmet to helmet, and it was a solid hit. Quite naturally, when you have helmet to helmet with a running back, it's not a penalty. But it was a game that got more intense as it got closer to double zeros, triple zeros, I should say, near the end of the game. Now this is a crazy scoring sequence. You would think in this game that the way it took place that. Because of these two teams, that it wouldn't happen like this. But with 2:08 left in the first quarter, Vernon Davis took a 49-yard pass from Alex Smith. Yes, I'm saying Vernon Davis took a 49-yard pass to Alex from Alex Smith to score the first touchdown and actually put the first points on the board. After a another Saint turnover. With 41 seconds left in that quarter, in the first quarter, another pass from Alex Smith to Michael Crabtree for a 4-yard pass and had it 14-0. This is crazy now. And then with another turnover, now we're into the second quarter, a field goal from David Akers with 14-12, so it's a little bit just into the second quarter. The 49ers are up 17-0 and knocking the hell out of the Saints, left and right. I mean, they're pounding. This is an old-school type of defense, and just like you heard in that Mike Singletary clip, he's from the old school. We hit him in the mouth. That's exactly what they were doing. They were hitting them straight in the mouth. It was no holes barred. They were taking no quarter. And letting the New Orleans Saints is that you are not going to have your way. You're going to have to earn every inch, every blade of grass on this field if you wanted to win this game. They were up 17-0 at one point, which is unbelievable. Then New Orleans finally got its act together, finally realized they were in a dogfight. And Drew Brees threw a pass, quite naturally, to one of his favorite targets, which is a 14-yard pass to Jimmy Graham. And they finally were on the board with just a little bit less than halfway through the second quarter. And then with about a little bit more than 4 minutes left in the second quarter, he threw to his next favorite target, which happened to be Marcus Colston. That was with a sweet 25-yard pass with Marcus Colston getting his feet just inside the pylons to put them behind San Francisco 17-14. Now I'm thinking, now we have a game here. We'll see whose butt cheeks are going to get tight in this game. Who's going to actually be able to sustain the pressure and the tightening, like I said, of the cheeks? Because this is a playoff game. This is not the regular season. You can't go to the next week and try to make up that win or try to get a win. If you lose, you go home and you watch every other person that is playing in the playoffs play. If you lose, you try to book tickets to the Super Bowl because that's the only way you're going to get there. So, so now you have a game, a 3-point game, with about going into halftime. It's anybody's game at this point. You would have to think that New Orleans, with the momentum of getting two touchdowns in the second quarter, would have the momentum, even though San Francisco would get the ball in the third quarter. Well, there was only one thing that happened in the third quarter, and it was about 10 minutes left in the third quarter. San Francisco, when they first got the ball, they had a series of three and outs. They finally got their act together, and as they usually, as this San Francisco 49er team is accustomed to, getting field goals with their record-breaking David Akers, field goal kicker. He's kicked 44 field goals, the most in the NFL this year, because because of the conservative play calling and things like that. So I would say that this would be a good time to put the field goal in effect, and that's what they did. And that was the only score in the third quarter. And we got a caller from the 818. I think this may be Jay King. Let's see what we got here. Caller from the 818. Welcome to the Master Plan. This is Jerry. Talk to me.
Hey, Jerry. What's happening, man?
How you doing there, Jay?
I'm good. How you doing?
All right. You get up this early in the morning to talk to me. I consider this a privilege.
Well, Jerry, you know, me and you, we're always kind of like in line on the other show, so...
we're the older souls in it, you know. I'm a 57. I know I think I'm older than you, but souls. In it.
I'll be 50 January 27th.
Okay.
So hopefully,
join the club.
I'll get a present for me. You have to give me a present. So.
I hear you. You're 50. You're hitting that 50 decade, man. I can hear you. That I can feel. I've been there. let me give you a short story here. Very short story in this. When I turned 30, it was no big deal. On my 40th birthday, I woke up, couldn't breathe, didn't know what was going on. I had all kind of issues. I took myself, my wife took myself to the doctor, and I couldn't breathe. I had all kinds of problems, and the doctor surmised. He said, "You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just hyperventilating." I had more trauma turning 40. than I did 50 years old. And I didn't realize it.
You know what? And I know what you mean. I wasn't, you know, 40 was just like, I was like, wow, I'm getting old.
Right.
But at 50, after a while, I really feel young.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know if it's because, you know, you're on your downside, so you try to revert back to your childhood or whatever. But I do feel young. I feel like I know a lot more than I knew when I was quite naturally at 40, and then a lot more than I knew at 30.
Yeah.
And I get just like fine wine, you get better with age. So, That's how I feel.
I agree with you. You definitely. I mean, you get smarter, you get wiser, you don't let things bother you. You keep it moving.
All right. Now, what were you talking about? I don't know if you listened to me. I was just going over what happened yesterday in the Bay Area, which was very surprising. I think you had picked, just like myself, had picked the New Orleans Saints to win this
by
game.
By three. I picked them by three.
Right.
And it was a minute left. And I said, and I was waiting until next Saturday so I could gloat.
Yeah, I understand, and I know how you feel. I figured when a little more than a minute left in the game, minute 37 to be exact, when Drew Brees threw a touchdown pass, or 2 minutes, no, a minute. He threw a touchdown pass.
Minute
37. Yeah.
Yeah, we were good, you know. The worst thing that can happen is this is going to end in a field goal. You know, this is going to end in an overtime game.
Yes, exactly. I figured that was going to happen. They're going to drive down here, and Alex Smith, I don't think he's going to be able to drive down here and put a ball in the end zone. And lo and behold, with 9 seconds left in the game, he throws a dart. I mean, he threw a dart to Vernon Davis, who got popped at the same time the ball arrived. I don't know how he held on to it, but it's one of the catches for the 49ers, and the place went absolutely berserk. And the New Orleans Saints were absolutely shocked. So I got to give props to Alex Smith. I didn't think he had it in him. I thought he was a decent quarterback, but I didn't think he had this type of fortitude and that it factor I'm talking about, being able to come through in a clutch. But he proved me and a lot of other people wrong, so.
I think quarterbacks, I mean, I think, you know, people rise to the occasion and turn into who they're going to turn into in the big games. But let me say this, the defensive coordinator for the Saints should be fired.
Why you say that?
Because there's a scheme and stuff that he had the defense in, which is horrible. You know, the prevent defense don't prevent nothing. And they should just continue to play hard-nosed football. And they didn't. But, you know, but now football ain't what it used to be anyway. It's Softy McClure. So, you know,
I was surprised. You know, I expected I expected them to put a lot more pressure on Alex Smith. At times they were able to. I don't know, and you're right. I don't know what the defense was doing near the end of the game, because it seemed like the pressure they were putting on Alex Smith early in the game when they were getting to him, for some reason they weren't doing that near the end of the game, and it cost them. And just like you said, prevent defense prevents you from winning. That's exactly what it does. I haven't seen one time when the prevent defense was put into effect that a team benefited from it. It always seems like a team with a decent quarterback is able to drive down the field and either get a game-winning touchdown, get a game-tying field goal, or a game-tying touchdown. It never fails.
Right.
I haven't seen it. I don't know if you have. And I've seen a lot of games through my years, and I've seen that prevent defense. And there's many a defensive coordinator that have lost their jobs because of running that stupid prevent defense in a crucial moment when they should have just kept on playing their base defense or their defense that's been the most consistent in the game rather than the prevent defense. So,
yeah. I knew that I was giving Tebow one shot, you know, but what do you – and I expect Tebow to do great, but if Tebow's going to have to learn how to throw the football, if he's going to be considered an elite quarterback, he's got to throw the ball. You know, he can get away. He can do all the things that you need. You know, he can break tackles and get out of the way of the defender. Of the tackler, of the lineman, but he cannot. For some odd reason, he cannot throw that football. I mean, he throws football like a girl.
This is crazy. You know, segue into that game. Now, going into that game, I thought the Denver Broncos, I don't know how much of a chance they had, but the defense had to arise to the occasion to be able to try to keep the team into contention. Otherwise, the Patriots would run away with this game, and that's exactly what happened. Five first half touchdowns, a record. Tom Brady ate these guys alive. It was ridiculous. He throws, 2 minutes into the game, he throws a touchdown to Wes Welker. Halfway through the first quarter, he throws another one to his favorite target, Ron Gronkowski. Finally, I guess in the second quarter, the Denver Broncos decided, they got close enough, and McGahee was able to put it into the end zone. But then right after that, halfway through the first quarter, he throws another touchdown pass of Ron Gronkowski. Then left in the first half, he throws a bomb to Deion Branch. And then they get the ball back. I think they were three and out is what happened to the Broncos just before the first half was over. And they got, with 5 seconds left in the game, he throws another third touchdown pass to Gronkowski, and it's 35-7. Well, you knew after Deion Branch, 28-7, that they really weren't coming back, and now it's 35-7. And you wonder how much more they're going to score in the second half. They scored 35 points in the first half. What is this, a 70-point game? They took off the pedal, took the foot off the pedal in the second half, and they only scored one touchdown and a field goal, and quite naturally, Denver scored a field goal. And the final score was 45-10. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, this game was over halfway through the second quarter. So it was absolutely ridiculous.
You're right. I'm gonna have to take this other call, but I'm coming back. Okay.
No problem. Go right ahead. We'll wait for Jay King to come back. But we'll say this. That just like Jay has said, Tim Tebow has got to find a way in the off season to be able to pass the ball. I think we had talked about this on the FSP show on Saturday about and on other shows about the shortfalls of Tim Tebow passing the ball. Tim Tebow was 9 for 26. 9 for 26, people. 9 for 26. That's absolutely horrible to be able to be passing like that. Tom Brady, on the other hand, was 26 for 34. He only incompleted 8 passes out of the 34 passes that he threw. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. That and Tim Tebow, his NFL rating or passer rating was 52.7, which is par for course for Tim Tebow. And Tom Brady at home on a playoff, and they hadn't won a playoff game since 2007, the last time they went to the Super Bowl. In 2008, Brady was hurt. 2009, 2010, they lost to the Jets, and they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So they came back with a vengeance, didn't want, and I'm like I was saying before, you do not want Tim Tebow kneeling in your end zone, and they didn't let that happen. Denver only scored one touchdown with Willis McGahee on a 5-yard run. So the 49ers move on to the winner of the Packers and Giant game. That's going to be played in Lambeau Field. The Patriots await the winner of the Texans and the Texans and the Baltimore Ravens game, which should be a very good game. I had on the show yesterday, and I'll say it again today. I want to talk about these two games. Now, like I said, this is what's going to happen today, is that the first game in the divisional playoff game for Sunday is the Houston Texans against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are undefeated in Baltimore. So the Texans have a tall order, but they have not a monumental task, but they have a very hard task in hand. I feel that both teams are going to try to run the ball because that's what they're staple. They have two all-pro running backs, Arian Foster on the Texans, and quite naturally, Ray Rice on the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the X factor is this, and I'm not even thinking it's the wide receivers. The X factor, quite naturally, is this. And it came down exactly like that in basically really in both games yesterday. Both quarterbacks performed well. Let me give you the stats before I go on. Both quarterbacks in the first game performed well. Drew Brees was 40 for 63, which is a good rating. He had 462 passing yards, and he had four touchdowns, but he had two interceptions. The big key in this game is that they turned New Orleans over five times compared to one time in San Francisco. On the other side, now this is amazing. This is really, I really have to give it to. I didn't think, Alex Smith could hang, but he had 24 for 42 for 299 yards with three touchdowns and zero interceptions, which is amazing. He had 103.2 rating versus Drew Brees, who had 93.5. There was 105 passes that were in that game yesterday. That's a lot of passes, especially 42 for San Francisco. On the other side, now this is why I say the keys the key to the game of the Texans is the quarterback. You look at the Denver Broncos against the New England Patriots. Like I said before, Tim Tebow was 9 for 26 for 136 yards. Only 136 yards with a 52.7 passer rating. Tom Brady was 26 for 34, 363, six touchdowns, one interception, 137.6 NFL rating. It makes a difference. If in playoffs, you can get by at different times during the season when your quarterback doesn't perform well. But when you get into the playoffs, you need your quarterback to do special things, like Tom Brady performing six touchdowns, like Alex Smith closing out the game, throwing the winning touchdown pass to Vernon Davis. You need those type of things. Even though Drew Brees lost, the reason why New Orleans was in the game because of Drew Brees and the quarterback throwing four touchdown passes, 462 yards. That's the way their offense moves. Even though he threw two picks, he still had four touchdowns in the game with 462 yards. Well, that has to take place in the two games that are going to take place today. And I'm talking about the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens are going to be playing each other. They have two stud running backs. Their wide receiving core, on one side they have Andre Johnson, an all-pro big-time wide receiver who's second or third game back, who should perform a lot better. I still have reservations about the secondary in Baltimore. I think they can be had. I think the key here is to control the rush from the front four, or excuse me, the front seven, and maybe a safety blitz that's going to happen from the Baltimore defense against T.J. Yates. I think that's key. Like I said before, the key, I feel, is the quarterback. Your quarterback has to perform at a high level in order, in this day and age, for you to take it to the next step, take it to the next level, move on. And you have T.J. Yates on one side, a rookie, going into his second playoff game, along with Joe Flacco, his fourth year in the league. This is his first home playoff game. We'll see what Mr. Inconsistent Flacco, is going to perform, or is he going to wilt? Is his butt cheeks going to get a little tighter because of the fact that this is a playoff game? This is your first playoff game. You have no excuse, Mr. Flacco. You've got it every way you could possibly have it. You have a good defense. You have a good running game. You have decent wide receivers. You don't have outstanding wide receivers. You have decent wide receivers with a very good defense. You're playing at home. All the other times that you've slipped up and whatever, it's a bit on the road. You are playing at home. You need to perform. If you do not perform as you should, it will be time for you and your team to go home very, very disappointed. It'll be put into question whether you are the type of quarterback that everybody thinks you are. I don't think you are. Like I said yesterday on the FSP show, I said, and I'm saying it on this show, that I like T.J. Yates, a rookie, and the Houston Texans with their top five rated defense against the top five rated defense of the Baltimore Ravens. I think this offense can move the ball. They have a stud running back, a stud wide receiver against the Baltimore Ravens. I think they can move the ball. I understand. You don't have to tell me. I know the statistics the last time they played each other that Baltimore beat them, and Arian Foster didn't even get up to 50 yards. But in rushing, I think this game, this is going to be different. I think Arian Foster being a stud running back, I know the Baltimore defense is going to key on him. Nonetheless, I feel Arian Foster will still be able to perform here, and I think he's going to be. I think the running backs on both sides of the ball, I think Ray Rice and Arian Foster are going to be able to get theirs. I think the key, like all these playoff games, the key is the quarterback. And I'm banking, and I'm call me crazy, I have a gut feeling that Mr. T.J. Yates is going to outperform what the so-called experts think he's going to perform, how he's going to perform. I think he's going to outperform Joe Flacco. I really believe that. I think this kid thinks I have nothing to lose. I'm a rookie. They don't expect me to perform as well as because I'm a rookie. So I think he's going to go for broke. So I think those passes that he throws to Andre Johnson or Kevin Walter or Jacoby Jones or Joel Dressen or Owen Daniels, they have a lot of weapons. They have a very balanced team of good defense, a good offense versus the Baltimore Ravens. They have a the Baltimore Ravens, in my opinion, have a good running game. Their quarterback is shaky. I'm not a big fan of Anquan Boldin since he left the Arizona Cardinals. He's shaky at best to me. I'm more like I do like Torrey Smith. I think he can do it all. I think he can catch it short, catch it long. He's got the speed to do it. Even though he's consistent, and I think him being a rookie, he's consistent. But also the problem is lies with the quarterback, because the quarterback is also consistent. So you got it's twofold. And I believe, and like I said, this was my upset special of the weekend. I didn't think San Francisco was going to beat New Orleans, but this is my upset special of the weekend. I like the Houston Texans over the Baltimore Ravens. I know I'm going against this trend here. I'm going against the odds, but that's the type of person I am. I've been that, and I have a gut feeling that and my gut has proven right and proven wrong. Most of the time it's right, and I think it's right this time. I think there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on Baltimore to win this game because because they're playing at home. Like I said before, they're playing at home. They have no excuses. This team is not getting any younger. Ray Lewis is not getting any younger. I can't think of the safety. Unbelievable. I can't think of the safety, but he's not getting any younger. The guys on defense in the Ravens are not getting any younger. So this may be close to their last go around in trying to get this far. So I mean, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. 2 weeks to rest up, 2 weeks to get their act together. You saw how San Francisco, with a stout defense, was able to go against a good offense. I know a lot of people are thinking that may happen in this one. My upset special, I keep saying it, my upset special is the Houston Texans beating the Baltimore Ravens in this game. Call me crazy. A lot of people have, but that's okay. I've been called worse and probably be called a lot more worse as my years go on. But I do believe what I believe. And so I like the Houston Texans. That's all I can say, you know. Now we move on to the other game, which happens to be in Lambeau Field. And earlier, you don't want Tim Tebow kneeling in your end zone. I really don't think the Giants are going to win this game. I think it's going to be difficult for them to win this game. And in my opinion, there will be no miracle. Let me put it this way. There was a miracle in the Bay, I put it this way. The miracle in the Bay is not going to happen in Green Bay. Let me put it that way. That's the best I can say. The miracle in the Bay, meaning that, and I wouldn't say it's a miracle, but just to be a little flashy, I say the miracle in the Bay is not going to happen in Green Bay. So even though San Francisco hosted and beat up and beat New Orleans, I don't think the Giants are going to go into Green Bay, Lambeau Field, and beat Green Bay. I think that there's been a lot of reference to the people that that from back from 2007 when Brett Favre was last year in Green Bay, and that the Giants got into the playoffs like they did. At that point, they were a wild card. This time, they were a division winner. No one gave them a chance, and they had a home game, and they beat Atlanta this game. I mean, but it really was no shot. Now they're going into Green Bay with supposedly no shot, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon saying this is the reference back to 2007. Well, I'm here to tell you, this is 2011-2012 season. This is January 15th, Martin Luther King's birthday, official birthday, not the one that celebrated, that's going to be celebrated tomorrow, which is January 16th. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. God bless you. You've done a lot of things for the welfare of the people. Not just African Americans, but for all races, enlightenment of to all races, I should say. If you can understand what I'm saying, enlightenment from all to all races. So the things that he had done for the people were for the people, not just for African Americans. It was for all the people, benefit all the people. Not just, like I say, one race. A lot of other races think that he just benefited, it just benefited for one race. Open your eyes and look at the big picture, and you'll see that the benefit was for all races. To make the world, and I hate to say it, I'll phrase Michael Jackson, and make the world a better place. And he took a stand and made the world a better place. So at times, there were times where people have to take a stand, and a lot of people took a stand. The founding fathers of this country took a stand against the ruling country of Britain and said, we want to be independent. From the first beginning of the United States, there was rebels, so-called rebels and rabble-rousers, whatever you want to call them, that took a stand that said, no, we don't want this happen anymore. Things of what you're doing to us is unfair, and we want to be independent of you because what you're doing to us is not right. It happens through the age of time, through different events of the country. So this is just one of those. And I'm getting off on a tangent about Martin Luther King. I'm supposed to be talking about sports, but that's okay because this is my show. I can do that. Anyway, like I said before, Giants going into Lambeau Field to play the Green Bay Packers. Now, let's look at this now. We have the Giants, Eli Manning, on a hot streak, okay? Sounds familiar? On a hot streak, coming into storied Lambeau Field. And I want to put a quick shout-out to my brother and my nephew who made the trek, who happened to be Giant fans, and he happened to land a couple of tickets to go out there for the first time. To see a playoff game and to experience Green Bay and Lambeau Field, I wouldn't say it's once in a lifetime, but it's something that you'll remember for your rest of your life. Going out to see a playoff game, your team playing in Lambeau Field, that should be an enjoyable event. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to Mike, my brother, and Kenny, his my nephew and his son. Anyway, talking about the New York Giants, Green Bay Packers. If you've listened to me on various shows, including my show, I am not a Giant fan. I don't like the Giants at all. I'll tell you straight up. I'm not a Giant fan. Do not like the Giants. I happen to be a New York Jet fan. Yes, I know. I've got my own issues being a New York Jet fan and dealing with that organization and way things have been going here. But that's neither here nor there. Giants and Green Bay. 15-1 Green Bay against the 9-7 Giants. Giants won had a dynamite game against a, in my opinion, totally unprepared mentally and physically Atlanta Falcons team to play a playoff game. They seemed like they weren't ready at all. They seemed like they were ready to go home as soon as they arrived. The Giants totally outplayed them. You only scored 2 points, and that was on a safety, and that was because of the Eli Manning and his mistake, basically, with the offensive line contributing to that. Otherwise, you generated no offense to think of. You asinine play calling with your fourth and one, fourth and inches, and you used the quarterback sneak versus your all-pro excuse me, all-pro running back. You should be ashamed of yourself. That was one of the worst showings I've ever seen. Team that was 10-7, 10-6. That was a disgrace. Arthur Blank, I feel for you because your coaching staff would totally outcoached and totally unprepared your team to play a playoff game mentally and physically. Anyway, getting back to the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants, the only edge that I see the Giants have is in the running game. They ran very pretty well against the Packers the last time they played each other. And let me just bring this up real quick about in week 13, I do believe they played. In week 13. Now, they said it was a 3-point game. I understand that. The Giants ran for 100 yards. Green Bay ran for 89. Jacobs Brandon Jacobs ran for 59 yards and a touchdown. Amar Bradshaw ran for 38 and no touchdowns. Eli Manning in that game threw 40 times, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, one pick. Aaron Rodgers for 369 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. So let me put it this way, folks. The only advantage I see the Giants have in this game, and this is the only advantage I see the Giants have in this game, is the running game. And if you remember, in that game, there were two players that did not play. A.J. Hawk did not play in that game, and Desmond Bishop did not play in that game. Two of their outstanding linebackers for the Green Bay Packers. Well, guess what? They're playing in this game. They've been resting for 2 weeks. Aaron Rodgers has been resting for basically 3 weeks because he didn't play in the last game of the regular season. Now, I know you Giants fans are going to be thinking, well, we got Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't played in 3 weeks, and he's going to be rusty. He's going to be off. Because he hasn't seen game action in 3 weeks. Guess what? This is Aaron Rodgers. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to be off? You think that your advantage is Aaron Rodgers going to be off? You better come to play. I guarantee with 2 weeks rest, sitting there watching you guys play the Atlanta Falcons and you guys getting a big head because you guys have been talking. And the Giants been talking about the Green Bay Packers. Well, guess what? It's put up or shut up time now, because the Green Bay Packers are just waiting for you guys to hit the field. You better be ready, because they'll be ready. 15-1. Remember that. 15-1. They're playing at home. You're not playing the last three or four games you played at home, Giant fans. The last three or four games you played at home. You played the Jets. You played the Cowboys. You played the Falcons. All at home. All at home. Sure, you got wins. Sure, you pulled games out. Sure, you dominated, but they were all at home. Now you're going on the road. Now you're going into a hostile environment. Now you're not playing on your turf. You're playing on the grass of Lambeau Field. You're playing against one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL this year and of all time, basically. You have a lot of weapons. You think that your pass rush is going to slow down the aerial attack of the Green Bay Packers. Let me just name a few people that you're going to have to guard against. Starting at the line, we're talking about Jermichael Finley for one. Then we'll go out a little bit further. We'll go out to Jordy Nelson. How about Greg Jennings? How about Donald Driver? I know he's old, but he still can perform. He still can perform. How about James Jones? How about Michael Crabtree, whatever his name is? They have a prolific passing attack. You are very weak through injuries, and you can't cry about that. But because you've been doing well the last 3 weeks, so no need to cry about that this game. 3 weeks, I mean, you're going to be tested over and over again in the secondary. Are you going to be able to withstand the deluge of passes that are going to be coming your way? Because the fact is, you know they're going to be passing, because Green Bay is not a running team. When they do run, they have Ryan Grant, James Starks, and with a little dose of John Kuhn. But my point is this: you're going to have your hands full. You're going to have your hands full. I understand, Victor Cruz. Yes, I understand that. I understand that the Packers' pass defense is suspect. I understand that. Just like the New England Patriots pass defense is suspect. But the one thing that you forget, Giants fans, is this. Just like the New England Patriots, the Green Bay Packers turned the ball over on defense. Even though their Achilles heel is their pass defense, I'm talking about the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers, they turn the ball over to make up. So even though you may catch the pass, there's a strong chance that they'll take the pass away from you. Or even if you try to pass the ball, they'll take the ball away from you through an interception or a fumble. So remember that. I understand, for the most part, that yardage gained on the Green Bay Packers have usually against the team, their yardage is more than the Green Bay Packers. But the Green Bay Packers are more efficient. And like I said, your secondary will be tested heavily. Heavily. And I hope, like I said, I hope you're up to the task, because things may get very hairy, and you just hope that you don't get one of these.
You got knocked the fuck out.
if you don't want to do that. But Giant fans, I expect you to show up. I expect you to show up quite naturally and root for your team. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today. The Giants will lose this game, I feel, by at least a touchdown. I feel by at least a touchdown. You got a well-rested Aaron Rodgers, who's ready to play in Lambeau Field, the San Francisco 49ers. This should be a very good game. I feel the San Francisco 49ers, well-rested, 2 weeks to prepare for the New Orleans Saints, is different than 1 week preparing for the Green Bay Packers. I understand it's a high-flying aerial act just like the New Orleans Saints, but this is how I see it. I called it before, and I call it again. One half of my Super Bowl prediction is gone now because I had said that it was going to be a repeat of last year, Green Bay Packers against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now I'm calling for this. I'm calling for the Green Bay Packers, quite naturally, to be in there because I think they'll beat the Giants tonight. And I think I think when they play the San Francisco 49ers, they will beat the San Francisco 49ers to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. And on the other side, now I'm torn here. I think that if the Houston Texans get past the Baltimore Ravens, which I believe they are, quite naturally they're going to go into New England. And I think they can give New England all they can handle because they have a good passing game and a prolific, a dynamite running game. So, and a very stout defense, front seven and back four. So I think Tom Brady will be taxed very, very stoutly against Houston if Houston gets to the AFC Championship. I believe that. So you know what? I'm going out on a limb. What the heck? What the heck? I'll go out on a limb. You got like about 2 minutes left in the show, and this will be my prediction. I'm predicting that the San Francisco 49ers play the Green Bay Packers for the NFC Championship with the Green Bay Packers repeating and going to the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to say the New England Patriots are going to be playing the Houston Texans for the AFC Championship with the Houston Texans going to the Super Bowl. I like that. I like that matchup. People are probably thinking now it's time for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers aerial attacks on both sides to go to the Super Bowl and see who can outgun who. I like the Houston Texans to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So I'm going way out on a limb and saying that. Now, we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank Jay King for calling in for a short time, but it's all right to always converse with Jay King. He's a gentleman and a scholar and a good person, good people. I want to thank all you listeners for listening. You've been listening to The Master Plan. My name is JT, a.k.a. The Master. I'll be back. I'll be back with you again, same time, same place, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock next Sunday. I'll also be on the FSP Cruise Show, what happens to air on 8 to 9 o'clock on same station, same website, with my co-host Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. And you can also get me on the FSP Show, which is hosted by Vic Gardner, and I'm one of the co-hosts. Till then, I like to close this out with what I always like to say. I wish everyone would do or try to accomplish this year is win on at any level that you can. And I'm closing this show out now with that. Till next week, folks, thanks again, and talk to you later.
DJ Khaled! Yeah.